Hi again, everybody. It's BitNote with David Collins. We'll be playing video game music and talking about the games they're from. Got a good selection, so hope you all enjoy. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the show. So, to start off with, I just want to make a quick correction for the last show. It's more of an addendum as such. As you know, I was playing some music from the classic Earthworm Jim video game series, but I think I forgot to actually mention the people who actually composed that music, which is very unlike me. But as you remember, I was playing some tracks such as from New Tech City and stuff, and I just wanted to let you know that the audio was composed by Mark Miller and Tommy Tallarico. And it's funny I mentioned Tommy Tallarico because his name is going to come up in just a moment. Just to cover a few other things up from the last show, essentially, while we're at it, there was something else that I kind of wanted to play with the Earthworm Jim games. It was the theme, as I said, I didn't just go to the Earthworm games immediately, I came through them through the cartoon series. There are actually quite a few video game shows have had cartoon series, everything from Q-Bert, even Pac-Man had some 80s cartoons. Of course, Sonic and Mario both have had their own set of cartoons. Sonic has had four based across the two decades he's been in existence. And there's just, well, three, I suppose. Sheesh. And of course, Pokemon is a classic example of a cartoon based off of a video game series. And Pokemon's an interesting example because you could actually watch an episode of Pokemon and then take what you learned from that episode and apply it in the actual video game itself. So it's pretty crazy as it's done. And of course, there's even examples such as Microsoft's Viva Pinata, which was actually kind of a failed attempt, but what they were really trying to do was get that whole, you know, synergistic thing where they had the video game and they had the cartoon series and they both played off each other. I figure I might as well play the intro to that series, and I know it's kind of breaking the rules slightly because it's technically from a TV series rather than a video game itself, but I do have minor justification for it, as a matter of fact. The PC version of Earthworm Jim, which I played, actually did include the cartoon intro as a video on the actual disc itself. So since it's came, you bought a video game, and on that video game thing there was this song, I'm technically using this as the very weakest piece of justification for playing it on the show. So I've certainly had my duct tape explanations before, but here it is.
Earthworm Jim,
the soil he did crawl.
Earthworm Jim,
a super suit did fall. Jim was just a third eating chewy length of worm flesh, but all that came to a crashing end.
Earthworm Jim,
he's such a groovy guy.
Earthworm Jim,
he rockets through the sky, cruising through the universe, having lots of fun. Here comes Earthworm Jim, you know that he's a mighty one.
Despite his great big muscles and his really big ray gun, Jim is still an earthworm, but then he's the only one with a super suit to make him really super strong.
Jim can be a winner if we only sing along.
All right. Earthworm Jim,
we think he's mighty fine.
Earthworm Jim,
a hero for all time.
Groovy!
And yes, that was the unspectacular and hilarious intro sequence to the Earthworm Jim cartoon series based off of the video game. As you know, Earthworm Jim is all about an earthworm that ends up in a super suit of armor and has Peter Puppy as a friend and a great big glob of slime also as a friend. They try to work with Princess What's-Her-Name and help her or rescue her or just generally fight the evils of a bunch of crazy supervillains. By the way, the Earthworm Jim intro theme was composed by William Anderson, who's had a huge amount of experience with cartoon series intros. He also, I believe, made the intro to Biker Mice from Mars, and also the most recent My Little Pony cartoon series as well. So, there you go. But yes, let us return from the realm of a cartoon series and return back to video game music, of which the show is ostensibly meant to be about. Now, guys, I went out, I did the thing for me. My job here of playing you the best video game music isn't just about playing countless amounts of video games. That's just part of it. It's also, I want to bring you the best in video game music. And this means I'm sometimes playing games that I may not otherwise play. And in this case, the game is called Advent Rising. This is a very, very big game, but I think I'll just start you off with one of the tunes. I'm saving the big title theme tune till the end of the show, but I think I'll start you off with this one first. That, my friends, was Karoim from the Advent Rising soundtrack. And as you see, this is quite a soundtrack, full of orchestral music, and the title theme, the main thing, sometimes called Muse and also called Greater Lights. I'll be playing that at the end of the show just to wrap things off a bit. But so what is this about Advent Rising itself? Well, my friends, the year is 2005. Well, it's actually probably a bit before that, since video game development takes a while. But essentially, a company called Glyphix Games wants to make a game. Now, normally they've existed before and after this, just basically dealing with cutscenes and graphics. But this is the first actual interactive game they ever make. And so they decide to make Advent Rising. And here's the thing, guys. It's going to be a trilogy. Yeah, okay. Look, developers out there, never make a trilogy, okay? I mean, either two things are going to happen. It's going to be not successful enough to get the better sequel, so that it'll end up ending on a cliffhanger, and you'll kind of piss off the things, and also you won't bring your A game to the first title, because you'll always think that you'll have fine for the rest. So it's going to be unsuccessful enough because people don't like the first game enough, or it's going to be so successful that there's no way in heck there's only going to be three titles. It's extremely impossible, in my opinion, for you to ever hit the exact amount of popularity to do exactly three games and leave it at that. It's just, it just doesn't work like that. Even like some of the best, even some of the best examples of trilogies. The original Halo trilogy, that was a great trilogy. But then you had a Halo ODST, and then you've got, I think they've got a fourth Halo game coming up, and I've honestly lost track. But, they, you know, it's going to be going. This is, and they even had a Halo RTS game. So there are going to be more games than the original trilogy. I mean, even with movies, it's the same thing. I mean, Back to the Future is the only actual trilogy that looks to be staying as an actual trilogy. I mean, Indiana Jones, of course, they ended up having to throw a fourth movie onto that as well. And then Terminator, of course, well, that was just two sequels, and then they made a trilogy, and then they kept going on. And it's just, but, and another thing, Mass Effect, that seemed like a perfect trilogy, only they screwed up the end. Now people are going to have to buy extra material to get an extra ending or a changed ending. I haven't even been really following it. Boy, I've gone into such a big rant there. But yes, Advent Rising was a game that was originally developed, and it was hugely hyped up. It apparently even had like trailers in the cinema, and people thought it was going to be the next great big game. And it was published by Majesco, and it turned out to not be. I've played through it. I mean, I finally went and I hit this. This game has got good music. You know, my listeners deserve to have good music from everything I've heard. I hear there seem to be a lot of people who actually really like this game, as I found out online, because I barely heard anything about it when it was being released. But, you know, you pick up all these people saying it was underrated. So I went out and I bought it and I played through it. And it's a decent game. It's good. I mean, it's you know, you're a guy. You're fighting aliens. There's this whole plot to it, and you know, I enjoyed it. It got a little tedious at the beginning, but you know, I liked it. And the problem is, a good game or an enjoyable game or even a game that had a couple of nice elements to it, you know, you need a little bit more of that if you're going to make an extremely hyped game with a gigantic marketing budget. You need to wow people. And apparently it just didn't strike off that much with a lot of people. It wasn't popular enough. It didn't make enough money, and it turned out being pretty much a flop. Yeah. And so despite the fact the website of this game is still available, despite the fact that the website of this game is still called adventtrilogy.com, Advent Rising is still pretty much the only game in the series. And that's how it has been. And I just want to talk about the publisher for a second, because normally I don't talk about the publisher, because despite the fact that they tend to be the one who give money to make these games in the first place, it's kind of cool as a guy who's a fan of the genre to say, ooh, the publishers are just money-grubbing people only caring about making money, and they destroy the bloody, 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 you know, all that stuff about publishers and stuff. You know, it's hard to be a publisher and be popular with gaming. But Majesco happened to make two games, you know, published two games that year. One of them was this, the other was the other game I told you about, Psychonauts. Now, Psychonauts got a huge amount of critical acclaim and awards. You know, Advent Rising didn't get that. But I mean, like, Psychonauts got all this acclaim and awards, and people loved it and everything. And they made it in pretty much the same year or so. And that was a huge flop as well. I mean, you know, it's, a lot of people think it was unfair, and people like whatever about the marketing, but it's just to have a company like Majesco publish two really hyped up games, two games with a lot of potential, and for them both to just sink when it comes to sales. I was just surprised to find out they were still going after that, but apparently they kept going on. They've got the Cooking Mama franchise, so thankfully Majesco is okay, but unfortunately their appetite for doing AAA game development, as the term is called, has been somewhat muted by their experiences. But to talk about the game themselves, it's a good game. But yeah, it's a pretty good game. Basically, you play as a character called Gideon Wyatt, who's a pilot. You end up, I'll just fast forward the plot. You encounter some good aliens, and they're fine, but they warn you about these bad aliens. And then the bad aliens come, and they start killing all the humans involved. And then you sort of like have to shoot through a lot of areas, and you end up trying to talk with the good aliens and try to work with them. But then the good aliens sort of get screwed over a bit. And by the end of the game, actually, this is kind of spoiler territory. Well, it's not really spoiler territory, but you're trying to get yourself together. I mean, I will say this. If I've said this is the first game of the trilogy, so you know that the bad aliens are not going to be defeated by the end of the first game. Now, to be honest, I actually think this is one of the areas where, you know, this made me actually look back at the original Halo and realize that the original Halo was actually very well crafted. I mean, the problem with Advent Rising is that it spends a lot of time setting everything up. It's something that happens a lot in narratives. You've got to get introduced to the characters, you've got to introduce to their perfect world, you've got to have a lot of slow-moving scenes where people talk with each other, you've got to have these great, beautiful areas, and then later on you've got to show these areas being destroyed and perfect destruction. You gotta have a tense escape, and you gotta go through so much stuff just to get to the point where things actually get going. Now, it's like in the original Halo, I mean, they started off, you know, in media, and the problem is that with the game, they spent all this time building all this stuff, sort of stuff up, but there's not really that much of a payoff because most of the game is kind of building itself up for some of the sequels. You know, you don't defeat the main aliens. You do get a victory by the end of the game. They'd be screwed up writers if they didn't do that. But I mean, like, there's just so much stuff, you know, there's just so much stuff that's, like, done in earlier on. I mean, with the original Halo, for instance, you're fighting with the aliens already by the beginning of the game, and then the beginning of the game is with you crashing on the Halo. So you know from the beginning of the game that, you know, the object of the game is to win a battle. It's not about winning a war. Whereas with Advent Rising, the game starts with a war starting, so when the game ends and the war's not finished, it's kind of irritating. They also throw in a couple of other things, like a whole lot of mysteries and things that are clearly meant to build up to other stuff and unexplained stuff. But generally, I think it's okay. I mean, the plot line is kind of cliche. It's all about aliens and stuff. It takes a lot of stylistic cues from Halo. Even the cities. I never understood these sort of sci-fi cities. Everything seems to attach itself to a specific aesthetic, which drives me freaking nuts because no city ever has a single aesthetic through the whole thing. The only cities that have a single aesthetic are ones that either everything was built around the same time or they've got an extremely rigid building code. And there's no reason why a great big city on a colony would ever just stick with a single thing. It's meant to look futuristic and silvery and shiny, but it just looks generic almost, which is part of what this game looks like. And the game plot, you know, it's the standard game plot. You get a bit of action, then you get a bit of cutscene. And despite the fact that Orson Scott Card, an author, is meant to have paid an input in the storyline, I just didn't really notice much of it. I mean, one thing I noticed about reading Ender's Game, probably his well-known book, is that he actually gave a sympathetic view to the aliens involved. But in this game, nope, the aliens are just cartoon evil guys. And to top things off, the game's greatest strength and also its weakness is essentially you gain psychic abilities. But unlike PsyOps, where you gain them pretty early on and then they gain them throughout the game and they keep everything evenly balanced, which, you know, PsyOps is a great game. You can just like in Advent Rising, you pick up enemies and throw them at them and throw them at things and pick up items and throw them at enemies. But well, with PsyOps, everything was balanced. You get the powers early on, they're distributed. With Advent Rising, you basically just have to go through a huge amount of just regular shooting with dual welded weapons, so it's sort of cool, before you finally get to the, and then go through so many scenes and story before you finally get to the point where you learn one psychic ability, and then you suddenly end up getting a huge amount of psychic abilities afterwards and practically towards the end of the game, and that keeps things fresh as well. There you go, Advent Rising, pretty classic game, and I think I'll just move on to the soundtrack of the next game because I seem to be running low on time. Thank you. And that, my friends, was the music from Braid, created by Jonathan Blow, a classic indie game that was released a few years ago, and almost a parody of sorts, but not really. Basically, it's a 2D platformer with beautiful hand-painted graphics and beautiful sounds, where basically you run across a beautiful landscape and try to solve these puzzles, but you have the power to change time. Like, largely, it starts off with you just reversing time, but then each set of levels you get a whole new powers, and there's a strange plot that seems to, and story that seems to be like so many patches of quilt that you try to work together and never seems to make any more sense. And it's very much a beautiful game with that really makes you think, with good puzzles, but also a brilliant atmosphere. The music itself was the song was called Magnum by Jamie Sieber. Jonathan Blow got most of his tracks licensed off of an independent record label called Magnatune. So he felt he wanted game tracks that weren't just video game tracks, that had their own identity. So that was quite beautiful. And I've always liked The Brain because it's a really good challenge. It's available probably on Xbox Live Arcade and, of course, for free download on PC, Mac and Linux. And I've just always liked the quality and the energy of Raid, and it's just a very beautiful game and very involving. So we're coming to the end. So I said I'd finish up by playing the main title theme tune from Advent Rising, just so that I cover it. The music was composed by Tommy Tallarico. See, I told you that name would be useful. Emmanuel Frattini, Michael Plowman, Laurie Robinson Plowman, and essentially, this is from this is the soundtrack. What we're about to play is like the title theme that plays through the end credits of Advent Rising. It's called Greater Lights, and I've just loved the orchestra and energy and how that this theme is just pervades so much of the game. This has been BitNote with David Collins. Thank you very much for listening. All the best.